Of course, I have been here in Madison many times, and I am so happy I finally have the opportunity to play this fabulous concerto here with the Madison Symphony.
You have three fairly recent CDs out, by which I mean the last about 3 years or so, and each one a different composer entirely dedicated to that composer, Debussy, Schumann, and Chopin.
That's right. That's correct. The Schumann is the most recent one.
And of course, this has been in your blood for virtually your entire life. But what inspired you to, launch those projects?
Well, regarding the Debussy, I had recorded my first Debussy disc with my former record company. And in 2012, I signed with a new label in France, which, by the way, has been really wonderful and has done very well. And 2012 was the year, the 150th anniversary of Debussy's birth.
Yeah.
And they said, "Why don't you do another Debussy with us?" And I immediately thought of the Preludes because this was something that I was a project I was nurturing, for quite a while. And as you said, it's in my blood because I'm French. I grew up in France, and I studied with Gaby Casadesus, who taught me so much about that music.
A very celebrated interpreter of a lot of music.
Absolutely.
Well, you have agreed to honor us with some live performances here, and Debussy foremost. Now, Les Joyeuses, this joyous island, fits where into the Debussy canon?
Well, it's not one of the preludes. It's in the middle, I would say, of Debussy's career. It comes after all the first attempts of Debussy to find and create his own language, and it comes after the estampe, which is the first really major achievement in Debussy's new conception and new writing for the piano. And the L'Île Joyeuse stands right there in the middle, and it's one of his most exhilarating and enthusiastic pieces.
Here it is, Les Joyeuses, Philippe Bianconi. Well, you get a standing ovation from me.
Thank you.
Spectacular. And very visual, too. Unfortunately for everybody else in the world who was just listening, didn't get to see how dynamic the movement of your hands was. And I don't mean that in a flashy way. I mean a lot of left crossing over right at various parts of the keyboard and constant motion.
Yes, it's very interesting the way Debussy uses the whole keyboard and all the various portions, you know, and mixes them all to create those incredible sounds.
And at times, I mean, I've heard this piece many times. I don't think I've actually seen it played before. And toward the end, sounded very much like a harp.
Yes.
And chimes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So it's a joyous aisle indeed. That was one of the great, maybe the most outgoing virtuosic piece by Debussy.
Probably. And it's one of the only ones that ends brilliantly. There are some other brilliant pieces by Debussy, like Feu d'Artifice, you know, fireworks.
Yes, yes.
But it ends quietly.
Right.
Yeah. Debussy usually doesn't like to end in a flashy way. This is an exception.
Yes, he's certainly a master of subtlety. And there was plenty of subtlety in this, too, but it was very outgoing at the same time. In case you've just joined us, I'll remind you that we're listening to Philippe Bianconi live in our Buck studio today. And he's going to be performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend, the devilishly difficult and large Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto. And we're hearing actually some of the pieces that you're going to be playing in these recitals that you're touring around with.
That is correct. Actually, I played, before I came to Madison, I played in Texas and Oklahoma. And then after that, I'm going on with more concerts and I'm playing a recital with actually pieces of Chopin, Debussy, and Schumann.
Well, speaking of Chopin, let's see. We're going to hear him today, too, but Schumann first, I think you decided. Did I get that sequence right?
Yeah.
As you wish.
Why not? Why not? Okay, I can do...
Either way.
I can play a short excerpt from Schumann Carnival, which is a big piece, 30-minute piece made of 20 short pieces. So here is a promenade from the Schumann Carnival.
Thank you.
a piano portrait of a really good time in Vienna.
Yes.
and other parts of Central Europe, in particular Carnival.
Absolutely.
By Robert Schumann. And Chopin, Polish-born composer, but spent probably more than half his life in France, mostly in Paris.
He spent, Chopin died when he was 39, and he spent the first 20 years of his life in Poland, and then came to Paris and spent the other 19 years in France. And that's when he composed most of his great masterpieces.
Do you detect any kind of French quality in Chopin's music? If you were to put, I mean, obviously the Polonaises have a, you know, Polish quality to them, but about some of the other things like the waltzes or the ballades?
I think it's more than just, you know, the salon quality of some of the waltzes and some of these pieces. I think in general there is this elegance in Chopin's music. Chopin's music is so lyrical. It's so full of his inner torments and his nostalgia of his lost
country. His
country,
lost,
Poland,
lost
because he never went back. After he left Poland, he never went back. And that was for him a true source of unhappiness and torment. And you can feel that in his music. And there is also this Eastern European nostalgia, you know, the Polish Zal. It's that sadness that you can find in most of his music. But at the same time, there is also this elegance and this perfection in his music, and almost the classicism that probably Chopin also found when he was living in Paris, all the years he was living in Paris, you know, in the architecture, in the arts. And so I think that's what makes him such an incredible composer. It's that balance between the passion, the drama, and this classicism, this elegance, this purity. It's just amazing.
And it comes out in this ballade. Are you going to favor us with one of the ballades?
Yes. I've just been playing the A flat major ballade, the number 3. So if you don't mind, I would love to play it for you.
Please do. Wow, what a treat.
Thank you.
The Chopin Ballade in A-flat, and it implies that term, a narrative, a storyline of some kind. Do you, when you play it, Philippe, have any particular images going through your mind?
Not really, although apparently the four ballades were inspired by poems of a very famous Polish poet of the 19th century, Mickiewicz. But they don't really follow the story. You know, it's not like a symphonic poem for piano. It's
right.
It's just the atmosphere, I think. And you know, with Chopin, the music speaks for itself so much. I never feel the need to imagine any story or anything in particular. I mean, the music is so... all the feelings in the music speak to you so strongly, you know. I don't need that. I just let the music go and flow naturally.
And that will be a lot of flowing and going when you get to that Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto.
Absolutely, a lot of lyricism too in that piece.
Yes, as I said at the beginning, it has Rachmaninoff's fingerprints all over it from the very beginning. You know who wrote that concerto,
absolutely,
the lyricism
and so much passion.
Yes, that Slavic largeness. Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful having you again in our studio. Philippe,
well, thank you for having me back. Great pleasure for me.
You have a lot of things to do yet today, and tomorrow is that first performance of the Madison Symphony for this weekend with Lutoslavsky Concerto for Orchestra and Schumann's Manfred Overture, and then Philippe Bianconi with the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto, and then it's again Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 2:30, and we'll look forward to hearing that and maybe getting to hear it again on Wisconsin Public Radio.
So thank you.
Look forward to that.